If you enjoyed this program, you can go now to kzfr.org and tip this show. Non-Human Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the local, seasonal, and organic delights at Farm Star Pizza, where the farmer is the star. Farm Star features artisan pizzas, salads, appetizers, and desserts with vegan, and gluten-free offerings, craft beer, and eclectic wines. Farm Star Pizza is open Monday through Friday for lunch, noon on Saturday and Sunday, and for dinner, 7 nights a week, with live music on Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday. They're located at 2359 The Esplanade. Visit farmstarpizza.com or like them on Facebook. And we're also made possible by Chico Hearing Aid Center, changing lives through better hearing since 1949. Chico Hearing Aid Center is devoted to providing the best hearing possible with a try-before-you-buy program and state-of-the-art hearing aids. Chico Hearing Aid provides hearing evaluations at no cost by calling 342-8132. This is KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Non-Human Radio. Welcome to Non-Human Radio, where we talk animal rights and veganism every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM or streaming online at kzfr.org. And you can also find us on Facebook at Non-Human Radio. I'm Jeannie Trezino.
And I'm Danny Toms. Today we're going to talk about the nefarious reasons why it's hard to find Hampton Creek products at Target, how and why Tinder is asking its users to ditch wild animal selfies, which is gross, and lastly, how animal agriculture threatens the Gulf of Mexico nearly as much as the BP oil spill did. We're starting off with a story about Hampton Creek, the company known for its eggless vegan condiment Just Mayo. They also make several salad dressings, which are tasty. The company recently hired an investigative team to uncover the circumstances surrounding its products mysteriously being pulled from shelves at Target stores nationwide. In late June, Target began to remove Hampton Creek products from its shelves based on unsubstantiated allegations from Bloomberg Media regarding product safety, namely allegations that some products were mislabeled, contained undeclared ingredients, or posed salmonella and listeria threats. The investigative team has since found several fraudulent, unsigned letters sent to several big retailers. Target was the only retailer to act on the information by systematically removing Hampton Creek products without an official Food and Drug Administration recall, which is the usual trigger for removing consumer products from supermarket shelves.
Yeah, Target, man.
Yeah.
The only one.
The only one, so I wonder why. The investigation revealed that an unnamed source stated that the return address on the envelope of one of the mysterious letters was the address of Hampton Creek's CEO, Josh Tetrick. The letter itself was addressed to executives at the various big retailers and CC'd Bloomberg Media.
It sounds so, like, amateurish, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you know, a nationwide chain acting on, oh, yeah, I guess the CEO of the company wanted to destroy his own, recall his product for not. It doesn't make any sense.
And to, you know, to take seriously a letter without a return address on, you know, I mean,
yeah.
Unsigned letter with this.
It costs you a lot of money to do that when store hours. So Andrew Noyes, spokesperson for Hampton Creek, told Veg News that the FDA has cleared the company of all purported safety claims. After reviewing applicable evidence, the FDA informed Hampton Creek that the matter is closed. Hampton Creek reached out to Target to determine the steps necessary to get its product back on the shelves and restore the relationship. As we've reported on Non-Human Radio before, back in 2015, Hampton Creek was involved in a similar scandal where 600 emails that have been uncovered by a Freedom of Information Act request revealed a conspiracy between consumer product conglomerate Unilever and the American Egg Board. Among many shocking developments, the documents uncovered proof that a contractor for the American Egg Board had paid an undisclosed sum to remove Hampton Creek's eggless products from the shelves at Whole Foods Market. Just Mayo became popular in 2015 after an outbreak of bird influenza, which, according to a new report, cost Calmaine Foods, a large egg company, $74 million in profits due to vegan alternatives. So,
yeah, I mean,
sounds a little, I don't know, fishy is maybe not the right word to use on the show. But
egg on their face. it's just these companies are seeing the writing on the wall, and they don't want to lose even their 1% or 2% margin that's eroding away because of sales to these, you know, they're still small in the scale of things. A food like Just Hampton Creek is still a small player in the big world of consumer products. But even, but anytime you lose a couple of points or even a whole percentage point in market share.
And shelf space in stores.
Yeah, you're going to be scared.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, I Hampton Creek continually comes up. They're the target of a lot of like good and bad press, and they're not like an entirely blame-free organization. I mean, some of their actions seem puzzling to me.
There was some weird stuff some of their like their executive and some of their marketing did that they kind of got called out on, but all in all, that's par for the course probably for any startup in any business.
I agree. And I think that, you know, whatever is happening here, though, in terms of these letters and the actions that these retailers are taking, that Target is taking against it, is because it's a vegan company.
Right, and there's two things going on here. There's this concerted disinformation campaign, one might call it opposition, research and attacks, which we now are hearing a lot of based from politics, but this has gone on in business forever, that's been going on to smear Hampton Creek. But as you said earlier, it's so sort of amateurish, yet Target took that and ran with it. So the other issue is what is Target's issue?
Yeah, I'm sure that we'll hopefully find more out more about this part of the story, and we'll report on it here at Non-Human Radio.
Yeah, what's our next story, Jeannie?
Okay, thanks, Danny. You're listening to Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio. Our next story demonstrates that sometimes compassion comes from unexpected places. On July 28th of this year, 2017, the dating app Tinder issued a statement urging its users to refrain from posting selfies posing with tigers and other wild animals.
Does my cat count?
Incredibly, the company stated in a blog post, which is still up on their website, you can read it, I'll post the link to it, a blog post stating, "Posing next to a king of the jungle doesn't make you one. It's time for the tiger selfies to go. More often than not, these photos take advantage of beautiful creatures that have been torn from their natural environment. Wild animals deserve to live in the wild. And we promise that your profile will be just as fierce without the drugged animals." So, kudos to them. Tinder is encouraging users to remove their tiger selfies, and they are giving a $10,000 donation to an animal welfare organization called Project Cat. And that is in honor of International Tiger Day, which was a few weeks ago on July 29th. Project Cat is a program sponsored by the Discovery Channel and the World Wildlife Federation. And to spread the word, Tinder created a social media campaign using the hashtag #NoTigerSelfies. The impetus for Tinder's statement was nudging from the group People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, or PETA. PETA issued a challenge to Tinder co-founder Sean Rad to ban the use of tiger selfies on the dating platform, because what might look at first swipe to be a harmless picture actually means that someone, an animal, was caged, dominated, and tied down or drugged before that photo was taken. If this happened to one of your users on Tinder date, this is what PETA wrote to Tinder. If this happened to one of your users on Tinder date, you'd block the profile of the person responsible immediately.
Hey, you want to go out and let's drug this tiger and take pictures. It's cool.
Unfortunately, this is a reality, though, for tigers, lions, and other big cats who are featured in actually what is an alarming number of Tinder Tinder profile photos, reportedly. I am not on Tinder, so I don't know for sure. And so what exactly is wrong with this kind of selfie or any kind of opportunity where you take a photo with a baby tiger or other small animal? Typically, these animals are torn away from their moms when they're just a couple days old and then subjected to a stressful environment and physical, what is actually physical abuse in the process of turning this innate wildness of these large animals, wild cats in particular, into captivity. And once the docile baby animals grow up, they become too dangerous to handle, and then they end up being locked away in cages or otherwise sedated. Not only do these types of photos embody cruelty to animals, unaware people might also mistake them for cute, harmless pictures. Innocently mistake that for a cute, harmless picture and be prompted to take part in that practice themselves. So, and interestingly, you know, there are more tigers in American zoos, roadside attractions, and backyards than there are left in the wild.
Wow.
The headcount is about 5,000 in captivity and an estimated 3,200 in the wild. So, yeah, I just think that's... I understand the desire to take a picture with a tiger cub or a lion
right.
cub. They are adorable, but is that pleasure really worth the whole backstory that's involved with that animal? And I think that if you take a hard look at it, it really isn't.
No, and you know, I had, you know, I'm a bit stupefied that it's such a big problem on Tinder that there's that much of it going on. And it's a great statement on their side. And I think this also applies to sort of your tourism photos where you go to Asia and to some chained up elephant or
an elemental elephant
or other, you know, the ride the dolphins, touch the dolphin, you know, hug the gorilla. Excuse me. It's all normalizing this sort of thing. And you think your one little moment of cuteness with the animal, you don't realize that, you know, that's its entire life as being, you know, sort of sedated there for,
sure.
for tours.
You know, I think that what's interesting is that the attraction of these little cubs and baby tigers and such is that they are wild animals.
Mm-hmm.
And yet that very act of this taking a selfie with this animal kind of pulls that wildness away and strips it.
Yeah.
Strips that animal of the wildness. And look at the care we try and take in someplace like our national parks, where if you've gone backpacking there recently, for instance, in Lassen or in Yellowstone or Yosemite, you're required to carry a bear canister.
Right.
And put your food and anything with a good flavor or smell inside that bear canister so that the bears do not become used to you as a food source. We need to... A wild bear is a live bear,
right.
And one that gets used to people or has some of its wildness taken away
right.
is a dead bear. And I'd say that you can apply that same kind of rational thinking to your desire to pet a baby animal. You're just a baby wild animal. You're just not doing that animal any favor.
I think that's a great context for that, Jeannie.
Boom. Every now and then I can bring it. Anyway.
Always.
Anyway, this is Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio. What's up next, Danny?
Runoff from farms growing animal feed are responsible for creating a massive dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico.
Say it ain't so.
A report released this week by the watchdog group Mighty Earth implicates Tyson Foods, the largest meat company in the United States, as being responsible for the massive amounts of pollution currently destroying the Gulf of Mexico. The Mighty Earth Report, essentially a data mapping project, found Tyson to be the dominant meat company in all of the regions suffering the worst environmental impacts from industrial meat and feed production, from prairie clearing in the heartland states of Nebraska, Iowa, and Kansas, to manure and fertilizer pollution pouring into the waterways from the Midwest down to the Gulf states. The report analyzed the runoff of nitrates produced by farms in the Midwest that grow soy and corn for animal feed. As we've noted before, most of the soy and corn grown in the United States is for actually turning around feeding to animals in a sort of indirect chain. The nitrate runoff finds its way into streams and then into the Mississippi River and finally into the Gulf of Mexico. The nitrate pollution causes dangerous algae blooms that kill local fish populations, pollutes drinking water, and surface, both surface and groundwater. To clarify, a dead zone is a low to no oxygen zone where fish cannot live. They basically suffocate underwater in this area. Although green plants produce oxygen, they also consume oxygen, and with harmful algae blooms, oxygen is removed at night through the process of respiration, and more importantly, as the algae dies, it sinks to the bottom and decays. Oxygen is then removed from the water during its decomposition.
I just think it's really fascinating to think of an underwater. I mean, first of all, it's hard for us as humans to think about breathing underwater.
Right.
And then you get used to the idea of a fish being able to breathe underwater, so then you kind of lose the idea that that animal can actually suffocate.
Right.
And that is exactly what's happening. And it's not just fish, but crustaceans, you know, shrimp.
It's going to affect the whole chain.
Yeah.
And if you think about, if you've ever seen pictures of these dead zones, I mean, they're massive. They look like kind of the hurricane pictures you'll see going over the Gulf of Mexico. There's these big blooms. And it's one of these things where people are not good at correlating, you know, very small causes of, you know, the thousands and thousands of these tiny little farms and the microscopic fertilizer particles pouring into the waterways, then these tiny creatures eating that, and yet the end result of that is this sort of massive die-off that can happen.
Yeah, and you know what?
and there's not a quick fix because it's a big systemic thing.
Exactly. The technical term that the EPA uses, because they control this kind of water pollution, is non-point discharges.
Mm.
Right? So you can't like just isolate one point. You can't just isolate, right, for instance, a wastewater treatment plant and the pollution coming from that thing, or from. But you know what? These kind of mapping projects show that you can, in fact,
right,
identify
it's just
those
a big
sources.
Problem. Yeah. Right. So the report found that Tyson's feed suppliers have basically decimated the surrounding waterways due to their polluting production practices. In June of 2017, NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, announced that a historically large dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico is growing even larger, spanning over 8,000 square miles, which is about the size of New Jersey.
Yeah, where Trump is vacationing. Anyway, Mighty Earth, and I'll just say Mighty Earth is an environmental organization. They're not an animal rights organization. They're not a vegan outreach organization. They are all about the environment, and kudos to them for, you know, pointing square at this source.
Yeah.
They single out Tyson because it's the biggest player in a bunch of bad players. Tyson Farms require about 5 million acres of corn annually to feed the 35 million chickens and 125,000 cows it slaughters every week. So think about that. 35 million chickens, 125,000 cows, and I didn't even quote the number of pigs,
right,
every week that go into this system. Tyson actually produces about 1 out of every 5 pounds of meat produced in the United States. And it owns brands like Jimmy Dean, Hillshire Farm, Ballpark Franks, and Sara Lee Products, in addition to supplying fast food chains like McDonald's. The Mighty Earth Report did a great job of literally, I think, going upstream, mm-hmm, to follow the pollution. It was really surprising to me that Tyson's top feed suppliers are behind the bulk of grassland prairie clearance, which magnifies the impacts of fertilizer pollution. Companies like Cargill and ADM dominate the market for corn and soy with their network of grain elevators and feed silos in all the states with the highest losses. So, you know, one angle on this, too, is that some of these companies have actually taken positions against, for instance, palm oil plantations and, mm-hmm, the decimation of tropical or subtropical forest ecosystems because of the impacts on orangutans and people. And yet here in the States, our eye is not on that, is not on the ball, and we're losing prairie.
Right.
I mean, what can be more iconically American than the prairie, right? With prairie dogs and the grasslands, native grasslands, and bison and all these critters. And yet here we are. We're losing what we have now. Even today, you could probably do a ticker just like you do for rainforest clearance,
right,
showing prairie lands disappearing to feed animals when we could feed ourselves by plants and not have to keep plowing under prairie.
It's very unwise as a species for us to be doing this.
Yeah. Anyway, Veg News tried to follow up with Tyson Foods, and here's how Tyson responded. Quote, "We are not in the business of raising crops and do not own many farms. We instead depend on thousands of independent farmers to raise our chickens or sell us their cattle or hogs, end quote.
So they didn't do it directly.
Passing the buck, like they do so often. So, anyway, I'll post a link to this, to the whole report. I've given you some highlights from the article, but honestly, I could pull out tons of bullet points that we just find so surprising. And I think one point to take home is that we are losing prairie at the same time these companies are saying that it's bad to be losing tropical rainforest.
Right. And I think, you know, as Americans, sometimes we get very involved in crises in other countries. And because we're not being informed about crises in our country,
yeah,
you know, there could be, like you said, big fires in the Amazon, other big issues going on in other countries where we're rallying to donate and putting an eye on it. I know as liberals sometimes we're like, well, it's the flyover states. What are you going to do, right? But I think we have to keep our eye on that ball.
Yeah, so kudos to Mighty Earth for what they're doing, and I hope that, you know, everyone takes a little smarter look at what's on your plate.
Just to circle back to what you just said, Tyson is saying the same thing. People would say, well, I just eat one hot dog a week. What harm can that make?
Yeah.
And Tyson's saying, well, we just sell the product. And the next guy's saying, well, we just grow a little bit for this guy. And it's just this diffusion of blame. And it's the system.
Yeah, I mean,
the whole dang system.
Yeah, really. I mean, Mighty Earth is actually asking for Tyson to change the way it feeds its animals.
Right.
Right? And I say, start at the other end and let's change the way we feed ourselves.
Right.
Yeah.
Why optimize something that's broken? All right. So is it time for the Chico Animal Right calendar of events, Jeannie?
Yeah, we're going to do a couple of things here. First,
awesome.
I want to point out a new irregular feature is the Chico Foodie Tip of the Week.
And I thought that was me. Sorry.
And as we feature, really, you are the tip of the week. As we featured before, just because they keep bringing up some interesting sounding items, the Winchester Goose is having its Wednesday vegan special tonight, and they're offering a vegan BLT. They're doing a riff on their thinly sliced crispy beet patty with some Grub heirloom tomatoes. This is like prime time for tomatoes, right? Middle of summer. And mixed greens on toasted tin roof bread. That sounds tasty. And then they're doing something called a crunch and munch, which is a roasted beet and carrot hummus with mixed greens, some more tomatoes and cucumbers on some more toasted tin roof bread. That just sounds yummy. And that's tonight, Wednesday, while supplies last.
Those sound great.
Yeah. This Saturday, Vegan Red Bluff Potluck, raw food, optional raw food theme, 5 to 7 p.m. The Red Bluff vegans are at it again. The optional theme for this month's potluck is raw vegan food. Please bring your own utensils and place settings, and please RSVP to their Facebook event to get the location of this event, which is held at a private residence. You can also send us a message at Non-Human Radio's Facebook page to get more info. Next Saturday, August 26th, I don't normally post this kind of stuff, but the Cream Ice Cream Sandwich Shop, which everybody's been watching and waiting to open, it's located up there by the Starbucks and movie theater end of town on Cohasset.
It reminds me of the Trader Joe's hysteria of the late 90s.
Yes, kind of. They're going to be finally opening and celebrating their grand opening and giving away free ice cream sandwiches from 12 to 8 p.m. And normally I wouldn't mention something like this, but Cream is actually famous for having vegan offerings. They have two vegan ice creams on their online menu. They may have something different locally, but it looks like a soy mint chocolate chip and a soy blueberry ice cream. And they even have about three varieties of vegan cookies to put that ice cream on. So have fun. If you want to wait in line, bring a friend. I'm sure it's going to be crazy long. And that is it. If you have anything you want to add or an event that you want to share with me, send an email to chicovegan@gmail.com and tell me all about it. Before we close the show, I want to paraphrase some words that the activist Marla Rose of the website Vegan Street wrote. And I think it's particularly appropriate for today, which is August 16th, 2017. At Non-Human Radio, we believe that the process of becoming vegan can help to connect us with our better selves and improve our relationships with everyone and everything around us. It is this belief in nonviolence, justice, fairness, and equality that compelled us to go vegan. As such, we stand against oppression, whether the victims are innocent animals or people who face discrimination, bigotry, and brutality. Danny and I are deeply horrified and angered by the profound display of hatred and ignorance by the neo-Nazis and white supremacists in Charlottesville this past weekend, and we stand in support of the people targeted by this emboldened display of oppression. We stand in support of those facing more discrete forms of oppression in their daily lives as well. Veganism is about justice and compassion for all beings, period.
Hear, hear. Non-Human Radio is made possible through the generous contribution of KZFR listeners like you. Many thanks to Sue Hildebrand for her engineering assistance and moral support. Stay tuned for Sue's show, The Real Issue, coming up next.
This has been Non-Human Radio, a production of KZFR 90.1 FM Chico. The views and opinions expressed on this broadcast are those of the hosts and do not reflect the opinions of KZFR, its board, its volunteers, or its staff.
Our theme music is Ready to Fall by vegan activist Rockers Rise Against. If you missed any portion of this show or you want to listen again, go to the archives at kzfr.org. This is Danny Toms and Jeannie Trezino signing off. Until next week, be different, be better, be kind.
And go vegan.
Everybody should be born.
Guillermo Mesh, welcoming you to the August 16th edition of the Without a Roof Radio program.
Every action is a reaction. We've got one planet and one chance.
All right. Good evening, everyone. This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. This is Paul O'Rourke-Babb sitting in for Sue Hildebrand here on The Real Issue. I want to let you know that The Real Issue is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Mount Shasta Spring Water Company, serving the community for over two decades with natural spring water bottled at a private certified spring at the base of Mount Shasta. Mount Shasta Spring Water is available for home and office delivery by calling 1-800-922-6227. You know, you can also get us on your Android or on your iPhones by getting the apps, and you can locate us on Facebook and streaming at www.kzfr.org. Up next is the real issue.